The grace is the thing that God puts in us that brings us into the place that He's called us to. We're a body. We often around here, we like to use the Hebrew words whenever we know them. There's a lot we don't know, but we're learning Hebrew. Learning it a little at a time. And we're going to start, as the Lord shows us when, we're going to start a class again on learning the Hebrew language. And you'd be amazed what you can do once you get up to the place where you have a 200 to 300 word vocabulary in Hebrew. You'll start hearing things. And Hebrew's a complicated language in some ways until you get on to it, because the pronouns are usually a suffix on the same word. And unlike English, it has suffixes and prefixes, Hebrew has infixes. Even has places in the middle of a word that change its meaning a little bit. But it's amazing how that root word speaks. And Hebrew is a very pictorial language. God used it to draw pictures. And I believe it's His language. I really believe that that's the language of the Lord. So we're excited to do that, but we'll do a little bit. And what I started to tell you was that we call ourselves Mishpacha. Can you say that? Mishpacha. Mishpacha means family. Means family. And you know, a family really is it's several things, but it's a way of looking at the way the body is. The body is a family of members, right? Your family, Mishpacha, is a family of people, which is actually a microcosm of the church, isn't it? I mean, every little family has its priest in its household. It has elders in the household. It has children in the household. And so it is, you know, within the body of Christ. But as we've looked at this, we've looked from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, we read a very simple scripture that tells us how God relates our human body to His spiritual body. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And we, you know, if we read on in this, we won't right now, but if we read on, we'd find out these places about the foot saying, "Because I'm not the hand, am I not? I'm not of the body." And we've talked a little bit about how people do become offended because they see someone doing something that they romanticize. And do you know we're all prone to do that? We see somebody else's ministry and we think, "Oh, that's so great." You see someone prophesy, and you say, "I just don't understand why God doesn't give me prophecy." Well, let me tell you something very quickly about that. That's really not prophecy. Just simple prophecy is not anything special as far as being only allotted to a few. The Bible says that you all may prophesy one by one. All of us can prophesy. And once you realize where it is, once the revelation of where prophecy is comes to you, you'll realize that it's been running just beneath the surface. And you can draw on it. Now, the thing that we do is we wait until there is a prompting or an inner knowing. Some people call it an intuition about when it's time. But God brings them forth. Sometimes it comes with a little urging, and sometimes it's so big I couldn't hold it back if I tried. Sometimes words of knowledge are the same. Sometimes actions I'm supposed to take happen the same way. And they're in all of you just as they are in me. The first priority, if you want to get involved in this body of Christ movement that we're talking about here, where your grace sets you, is you must be born again. Say, born again. You must be born again. Without being born again, without the new birth, of course, you can't be part of the body. Even though God did call you. Listen to me now. God did call you to be a saint. But not everybody's going to be born again. See, we need to understand the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, but He set a group of rules and a group of limitations even upon Himself, and He calls it covenant. God says, if you will do this, I will do this, and that cannot change. Amen? Is He sovereign? Yes, He's a sovereign God. But God set the bounds for sovereignty with covenant. And if you just begin to see it that way, you know that He's done everything just exactly like He wanted it. So He hasn't limited Himself in any way other than He will never lie. He cannot go beyond what His Word says. And that's so when you hear people say things like this, and this is one of the things we're learning in faith and confession, these people that are thinking they're being very spiritual and saying, you never know what God's going to do. The fact is, God gave us His Word so we would know. We know what God will do. Now, He will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think in that area. But we do know what He's going to do. In every situation, God has defined what He will do. And He also, through Torah, can you say Torah? Torah does not mean law. Torah means teaching and instruction. Through His teaching and instruction, He has given us a way to know where we fit in and what we need to do. We've been created unto good works. Amen? That's what we're created for, once you're born again. So the first thing you have to do is be born again, and then everything is available. There is an intermediate step that I always like to bring up. Every believer needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, you need to not give yourself rest and settle. We were talking about this on Friday night, how easy it is. My dad did this, so I know about it. My dad's with Jesus now, praise God, I love him. But my dad was prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing, he didn't perceive anything happening. And he said, I guess it's just not God's will that I should have this, nor that I should speak in tongues. And then he had some helpers along the way that taught him erroneously from the book of 1 Corinthians that all don't speak with tongues. The fact is, all don't speak with tongues within a body setting, but all may speak with tongues. And if you don't speak with tongues, you're missing out on a tremendous tool, yea, weapon that the Lord has given us, and you just don't want to stop until you arrive at it. We had a man come in here one night. He'd been seeking to receive this, and he set a date. This night is when I'm going to receive. Now, that's not bad. That's kind of good. He came in here, but I'll tell you, I went and laid hands on him, and when I laid hands on him, nothing, absolutely nothing manifested. Not a thing. And I saw him. He just kind of gave a sigh, and he was ready to get up, and I said, stay there. Just stay there. Just wait. Just wait. This is not God making you wait. This is you getting past you. You understand that? He finally stayed with it. Stayed there. Must have taken 15 minutes, which seems like eternity. But you know what? Before long, he was praying in other tongues. We were listening to the tape the other day. Henrietta found that old tape when he was testifying to that. In fact, Paul and Paige were here at that time, and he was testifying about how his mother, right at the same time, who is clinically deaf, also received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Now, people, I got to tell you something. I don't even understand how that happens. I don't. But she was actually hearing things in her inner ear and speaking them out. So I'm going to tell you that if you really want to find your place, this is where we need to go. I remember when Rosemary received the fullness of the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. To all of you, let me say this to you. If you've received, a lot of you may have received, and it may have been an event, but it may not be a way of life. tongue should be a way of life. It stirs up the Spirit within you. Stir yourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. Now that was not part of this message today, but the Holy Spirit said, someone here needs to hear this. Someone here needs to hear this. So I brought it up. So we need to learn that in the body there are going to be different members. And every member has specific characteristics. Some of them are really good in public. Some of them aren't so good in public. Right? Just like the body. Some of our members show well. Other of our members should never be shown publicly. Right? Unfortunately, the world has gotten really messed up on this. They don't know what members are to be shown privately and publicly. But let me say this about those members that are private. They're valuable. Would you agree? Say they're valuable. No matter where you fit in the body, you are valuable. You are precious. God looks at you and He says, ooh, a jewel. You're special. Amen? That's a fact. Now, here's the problem. Because we have carnal exterior, because our carnal man and our carnal mind is so well trained, we oftentimes have a hard time entering into spiritual things. We train our minds. And it's not unusual for someone to say, wow, that part sounds good. I think I'll go that way. I'm sure I heard the Lord say that's what I'm going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, I'd like to be one of those pastors. They work Sunday mornings and get paid for the whole week. You know about pastors? They just work 1 hour on Sunday and they get paid for a whole week. Well, what is that? That's foolishness for those of you that know anything, but you'd be surprised how many people think that what my job consists of is here. My job is only partly here. And getting ready for this time here is still only a part of it. And even though I can function here by anointing, when I work out in the world, I have to walk by faith, just like you do. So you have an anointing for your part in the body. I have an anointing for my part in the body. But all of us, as believers, walk every day, moment by moment, by faith. We're no different. My part gets seen on Sunday morning. And by the way, some of your parts are going to be seen more on Sunday morning and during our congregational meetings, because I believe the Holy Spirit's going to begin to show you that you have parts to exhort, parts to sing, parts to prophesy. Amen. Give words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Amen. Amen. All of us have a particular place and a particular part. And we're all valuable. And it doesn't pay to compare ourselves with one another, does it? In fact, the Bible says, if you compare yourself with one another, you're not wise. Everybody here say, I'm wise. I'm wise. I'll not compare. Just enjoy your place. God's given you a neat place. Whatever it is. If you haven't found it yet, that's what we're here to do. Amen? If you have found it, we're here to watch you grow in it. Develop and growth. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says it this way, but now hath God set the members, everyone, say everyone, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Do you remember I said He looks at you and He sees a treasure? Because He put you there and it pleases Him. If you say, I'm not pleased with where I am, you're not against anything but God. You're talking against God if you're not pleased with who you are. Let me say a little bit about those of you that aren't pleased with your bodies. Those of you that aren't pleased with the way you look. It's all right to do some training and changing, but be careful. Be very careful how you look at your body and how you begin to demean yourself. Don't do that. That's not healthy. That's wrong. God will show you how to eat right, how to exercise right, how to do things that'll help your body maybe be more healthy, but don't look at your body and compare it with everybody else's body, because God didn't make all bodies the same. Did He? No. So don't be even doing that. Don't compare that way. God sets you in the body, and you're pleasing to Him. Amen? Amen. Everyone has a God-ordained place. But everyone also has corresponding grace. Okay, if God puts you in a place, He's also giving you the grace to do it. He's also done it. From Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. We started last week with the steps for finding our place. Present your body before the Lord. Come to Him. Offer yourself up and say, Lord, here I am. That Hebrew word is hineni, here am I. That's what Isaiah said. Here am I, Lord, send me, hineni. Do that. Present your body. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is acceptable to God. He's pleased with you. It's reasonable. It's reasonable that you'd be used in His temple, since you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? That's just reasonable. Acceptable to Him. So present yourself. The second verse says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a couple of steps in there. Don't be conformed to the world. Oh, that's a tough one. We may not think it's tough, but I'll tell you what. Doing things the way the world does it, and the mindset of the world anymore, is, you know what we said about faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing? If you don't watch what you do, you'll be hearing and hearing and hearing what the world thinks about everything. Even newscasts. What does the newscast think? Doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep down depression. You knew I was heading there, didn't you? That's the only good thing. Maybe came out of Hee Haw. Just an example. That's what goes on. We offer ourselves up to God, present ourselves, and then we're not going to allow that conformity, that box of the world, to form our shape. Remember, the Bible says that you're made after His likeness and in His image. I really believe that means something. I don't believe that's just nebulous Bible talk. I believe that means that you look like God looks. You have appearance like He has. Amen. And He wants us to be not conformed to worldliness, which brings strife, which brings confusion and dulls our senses. Doesn't it? Have you found that you've known things and known things and known things? See, I was brought up that you do not swear, you do not cuss. Do you all know what I'm talking about? I was brought up that way. I never cussed. Never cussed. And as far as I was concerned, it was blaspheming the Holy Spirit to use the Lord's name in vain. That's the way I was brought up. I'll never forget one time I was playing on a sixth grade basketball team and somebody hit me. And when they hit me, I said God's name in vain. You say, oh, you'd gotten really callous. No, let me tell you, I left my place on the floor. I went to the locker room, got on my knees, and asked the Lord to forgive me. Now you say, well, maybe you were a fanatic, but maybe I was tender. I said that to illustrate because as I grew older, it became my second language. Swearing, cussing. I'm amazed at what Christians let come out of their mouth. I really am anymore. Christians talk just like the world talks a lot of time. You get around them, wow, you know, gee. I've been around enough, I've heard it all, and I said a lot of it. And I got to the place where I actually made the statement, well, I just can't help it. It's just part of me now. Except one thing I discovered. When my granddad was around, or my dad was around, I never let one slip. And so I said, if I'm not going to be just a big hypocrite like I think all the church is, and you see, I was in that stuff by that time, I got to quit doing that. And the Lord helped me to clean up my mouth, even before I really gave myself over to Him. Present yourself, but don't be conformed to the world standard. You know, the world talks a certain way. Don't talk that way. We've got other ways to talk. And whatever you do, don't let your occasional slip be something for effect. Some people like to have that effect. Well, all it does have an effect. The effect is everybody thinks you're not what you say you are. They think you're really not part of what God's called you to be. Remember, it dulls, it hinders. There's confusion involved in it. The Bible tells us where there's confusion, there's every evil work. So let's not be conformed to the... Do you find that? Going around doing business and trying to get things done, that sometimes you just come out feeling like you're a sea. Like you're just out floating, you know? And there's just waves all around and you don't know where you are. That's confusion. Sometimes in our jobs we come to the place where we just feel confusion. We don't need to feel that confusion if we'll not be conformed to this world. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. On Wednesday night, we're going to help you get your mind renewed. We're going to stress the Word of God so much to you that you'll understand that, you know, the words that come out of your mouth ought to be the Word of God at every turn. Everything that happens to you ought to relate to the Word of God. You said, is that possible? I believe it is. I believe it's possible that soon everything that goes on in your life, you're going to have something that brings the Word to your remembrance. That's what the Holy Spirit's given to us for. To bring to our remembrance, one of His main duties, bring to our remembrance the things that Yeshua has said, His Word of God. So this is a step we're now taking to find our way into our call. We're first going to present ourselves. We're not going to be conformed. No, we're going to transform our minds by the Word of God. That's what we're going to do. Last week, we ended up with a couple of scriptures that I want to start with this week now. Psalm 42:7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I've read that for years, and I have to tell you, I didn't have any idea what it means, but it's begun to take on meaning. Deep calleth unto deep. Deep calleth unto deep. How many of you believe there are things in God that are deep? How many of you believe there's a place in you that's deep? That you don't even make contact all the time? There's a deepness in us. There's a place in us. Our spirit is a deep, deep place. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of the living God in a born-again person lives in his spirit. He lives right down on the inside of you. He lives in you. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. Even at the time when you feel the most alone, that's your mind that's into that. He's right there. He was there all the time. Every born-again believer has Jesus right down in the middle of him. He's right there. And everything that God knows is available to the born-again spirit. I believe that. That's deep. Say deep. That's deep, isn't it? So deep is God's Spirit calling unto our spirit. Deep calleth unto deep. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. His Spirit is showing you where you belong. And we talked about it last week that, you know, if you live around Colorado, and I suppose most any place in the United States, we see a lot of migratory waterfowl. Have you noticed how many there are? Sometimes out on Lake Granby, they just have filled the banks. They're out on the water. The geese are out there. There's other varieties. But those geese have a knowing down on the inside of them about what they are and where they belong. Isn't that an amazing thing? That a goose... How many of you know geese aren't filled with the Holy Spirit? They don't talk with other tongues. Right? And yet a goose knows where its place is. Right? They rise up in mass and in a group. They take off and they go to a place. And as they're going, how many of you know they go a lot of places that are not their place? They may look good from the air, but somehow they know, nope, that's not our place. We belong someplace else. Now, remember what we're talking about. God places the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. The little goose knows that. And that goose goes on and he flies on and he flies on and he flies on until he lands in his place. And they spend their place there for the cold winter months up north. And scientists tell us those are miles and miles and miles away. They have developed intricate ways of flying so that the lead goose trades off every now and then. And there's a rest as they get into the, what do they call it, the current of the others. There's a racing term for that, slip current, is that what it's called? They get into the current of the other geese where they can rest because they're going miles and miles. And that's amazing to me to hear about it. But I found out that hummingbirds do the same thing. Did you know that there's just about any hummingbird you can enclose it in your hand? Just they're just tiny little things. Now, how big do you suppose their brain is? It's tiny, isn't it? Tiny. Little bitty birds. Tiny little birds. And those birds, we're told birds from here or further north end up in Costa Rica in the wintertime. How do they know to go to Costa Rica? Deep calls unto deep. They've got a place in them that can respond to God. Somebody said, oh, that's just natural stuff. Well, it is natural, but it's God made. He does the same thing with the salmon. The salmon have to go back to where they were spawned to spawn. We trick them around here. They strip the eggs and send them to a rearing place. They strip the salmon here and do that. But you know, if you follow salmon in the wild, they will travel miles and miles and miles in the water and get back to the same place where they were spawned. And the bears wait for them there, right? Somebody could even ask the question, how do those bears know they're coming? But they do, don't they? And they come. They come to a place. So here we've got animals that are finding their place. Do you believe that God, who made these animals and put that into existence and then made a statement like, I set the members in the body where it pleases me, would not be willing to show you your place and how you function? And listen to me now. I'm not talking about, you know, we usually get into places like, well, you know, your place may be the floor sweeper. You just may be the floor sweeper. Okay, let's go along. Follow that a little bit. I believe that's possible, that we do need some floor sweepers. Generally, Henrietta and I do that. We sweep the floors here. Goes right along with, that's right, with servant and being a part of the ministry of helps. We're all part of that ministry. But I want you to know something. I believe there's supernatural anointing available in every part. In every part. And see, we sometimes spiritualize everything in the church so much that we only see it as being, you know, that which is almost ecclesiastical. But the church isn't just inside here. In fact, our door has a sign on it. As you go out today, I want you to pay attention. It says, the service begins here. Because every saint is a minister, and when you go out of here, that's where more of your service will be seen than any other. You'll be ministering to people. You'll be talking to people. But it's supernatural. I want you to know, I don't care. Dan, my son-in-law, is a CPA. You got to listen to his testimonies. How often the Lord gives him opportunities to talk to people about the Lord. Becky is a real estate broker. Is there supernatural work in the real estate business? Amen. Amen. Wherever you are. Yes. This goes right into my... Hold on just a second. We just want to make sure it's all on the air.
Thank you. I run a lodge, and so in running a lodge, you clean, and you clean up after large groups of people. And at the beginning of this summer, I was cleaning up, and I'm going, you know, Lord, here I am. I'm 52 years old, and I am a cleaner. And it was like, I know you have me here, but this is not how I saw my life. And so I just thought, no, this is, I'm you, you're in me, and this is what I'm doing, and you bless the work of my hands, and your presence will be in everything that I do, as I'm cleaning, making beds, doing potties. And it has been amazing in that shift of realizing who we are, and it is not by chance where he places us. We have seen healings in families. One woman, I was able to share with her, she came over going, it is a miracle, it is a miracle what God has done in our family. And it's by us having an attitude of knowing that we are called, no matter what we do, where we're set, that when we give our glory and we let the Lord work through us, it affects everyone who comes in our path. So as a cleaner, God has healed so many people. Amen. In that family. Amen. And it was that change in my heart.
That's right. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. She brings these things up, and you see, this is what I'm talking about also about the body. Do you see, you know, I'm up here ministering, but you're there ministering. So too many times we become spectators. We're not spectators. You may have something in this. You may have something today. I want you to be available. And I consider it important. You say, why would you make us do that? Because my voice is real loud. And of course, everybody tells me, don't believe them, Pastor, because when they start talking, we can't hear them. Your voice isn't loud, but we want it on our CDs that go out too, because we put these, and we want the people. We have a number of people that are ministered to weekly. This also goes up on the internet, and people can download these messages. We want you to be able to minister what God has given you. Amen? You have a place in the body. It's a valuable place. What you said was valuable. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that there's someone here today that needed to hear just that. And sometimes we look at something and we say, well, you know, I thought I had gone beyond this place, and all of a sudden I'm back going. It seems like I'm going back. Don't ever think that. God puts us in little places for a while sometimes that just have exactly what He wants us to do. Exactly. And so I'm encouraging you today along this line that your place is important, but I'm also wanting you to get this down, that God sets the members in the body. And if God set us, He wouldn't be. You see, a lot of people try to act like this is a huge secret that God has. And you may live your whole life and never find out where you... Well, now, wait a second. That would be a strange body, wouldn't it? What if my hand had never figured out what it was for? You'd call me what? Disabled, right? But my hand knows what it's for. And so you, as a part of God's body, it's important. This is important to Him. He placed you. It pleases Him when you function as He has set you in the body. So let's find it out. Let's let that deep. See, I believe He's calling. He's calling into your spirit right now. He's showing you your place. If God can direct animals to their place, how much more a spirit-filled believer?
Amen.
Amen. He can direct you to your place. He will. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I want you to know He's not trying to make this hard. It's not hard. We've done classes around here on finding your place and go through a whole syllabus and a book. And you know, I'd have to tell you that, you know, yeah, there's things that come out of it, but for the most part, nobody does anything with it because it's just not clear when you get done. I believe it's because even the courses oftentimes make things too complicated. Say it's easy.
It's easy.
Well, it is. Your heart didn't have to learn how to be a heart, did it? You were born and it took off. In fact, I guess it took off for you. No, it took off when you were born, right? Was it? Yeah, sure, it was beating all the time you were... Yeah, that's right. You didn't have to learn. And you know, only parts of you had to develop, but they do develop, don't they? It's not hard. It's not hard. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Say holy.
Holy.
That's completely. That means be set apart completely. Holy. And I pray God your whole spirit. And we're going to put whole in for each one of them. And your whole soul. And your whole body. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a powerful scripture, isn't it? You've been set apart for Him. That's powerful. But verse 24 really puts it exactly where it belongs, because I want you to understand this. We sometimes are trying to get to our place and trying to do what we're supposed to do and struggling to get into that. And listen to what it says. Faithful. Say faithful.
Faithful.
How many of you believe God's faithful?
Amen.
Oh, faithful is He that calleth you. Are you called?
Yes.
What are you called to be?
Servants.
Servants. Parts of the body. Members. You're called to be members of the body of Christ. Every saint is a minister. Every saint is a servant. Every believer is a minister. Everyone's called. Even those that don't come to Jesus are called. He has a call for them and a place for them if they'll just yield to it. But it says, "Faithful is He that calleth you." But listen to these last five words. "Who also will do it." Wow. He will do it? Well, if He does it, what do I have to do? Somebody tell me. What do you have to do? Listen. Listen. What else?
Receive.
What else? Believe. And all of that could be said with surrender. He's going to do it. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. You think, oh, well, I'd have to do something. I've got to do something. Do you know that's one of the biggest problems even with pastors? They think they've got to do something. And that's why our services crowd the Holy Spirit right out the door. We've got to do something. We're afraid we might have dead air space. Well, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit allows for quiet. Isn't that right? Sometimes we think we have to prepare a lesson for our people. Now, you might get after me about this, but I'm going to tell you something. I really believe it's more important that one prepare one's heart to minister than that one prepare a lesson or a sermon. I know the homiletics instructor and professors at the seminaries would really disagree with me about that. The hermeneutics professors wouldn't like to hear me saying this. And yet, isn't it a fact that if God's going to do it, what we need to do is let Him? Let Him do it. Let Him be God. Let Him do in us what He's calling us to do. Let Him make us what He's called us to do. How many hours did you study before you ministered healing to those people in the lodge? It wasn't... You didn't study for it, did you?
No, not at all. Taking my thoughts captive as the devil goes.
Who do you think you are? Yeah.
Yes. What are you doing? And no.
Right.
This is who I
right.
am a daughter of the Most High.
There you go.
In my hands, He is in me.
He's in you.
What I do is for His glory.
Amen.
If that was it. It was the renewing of my
That's right.
life according to His glory.
That's it.
In praise. And not going, "Oh God, you made me be here." No, it was finding joy in it and causing my spirit and my flesh to line up with the Word of God.
That's right. That's right. And so the preparation really is a matter of believing. Getting ourselves into a place of trusting and believing that God will do what He says He will do. Amen. Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it. Faithful is He who has called me. Say that with me. Faithful is He who has called me. He also will do it. You just have to put faith in what? In His faithfulness. He's faithful. He says, I'll do it. He'll do it. He'll make it happen. You can follow the locating device that He's put on the inside of you. You believe that?
Yes.
I think it's better than GPS. I got a GPS in my car, and they can pick me up within something like 200 or 300 feet. You know what? God's got me better than that. God knows my... Listen, did you know that God has numbered the hairs on your head? And it's... You know, when it says He knows the number of hairs on your head, He knows how many you've got today, and He knew what you had yesterday. Why would He keep track of something so minute? Do you keep track of how many hairs you got? Anybody here? About the only thing most of us can say is it's less than it used to be, right? But we've got a bunch of hair. But God can tell you how many. Why? Because that's how intimately He is acquainted with you and knows you. He also knows what He has told you to do. You can't fake Him out like you do other people. Did you know that? You can tell people, well, I think maybe God was... God knows if you got it or not. And I believe He knows that a lot of you are getting it. A lot of you are catching on. A lot of you are knowing that there's a place that He has for you, and when you get to that place, you're really going to know, right? Just like the goose knows when he gets to his place. God didn't make this hard, the devil did. And part of it, just what Kim was telling us back there. The devil comes along and said, well, now wait a second. Would God really use you? You know, we're pretty intimately acquainted with some of our faults, aren't we? We know where we fail. We know what isn't working good in us. And so the devil can get in a lot of times and he'll say, oh, this is difficult. This is hard. This is very, very difficult. Only a few select ones will ever get to the place where they can do that. But you see, that's lying, because the Bible says it's about a body. And I haven't seen the body active like I believe we will see it. I believe we're coming. I believe you're part of a great move of God. You believe that? Put your faith out with me. Believe God for it. You can count on Him. You can count on Him to lead you, to guide you, or to correct you. What happens if you miss it? Just go with me there for a second. That's what we're afraid of, isn't it? What if I miss it? I might miss it. What if I told somebody about Jesus and I missed it? Oh, wait a second. Now, wait. The Bible said just preach the Word, didn't it? Be instant, in season, out of season. What if you told somebody about Jesus and they didn't accept? How many of you know Jesus told a number of people the gospel and they didn't accept? What would happen if you really missed it, though, and you said something wrong? By the way, I've been there. I've really missed it. In fact, I just said I blew it.
There's no condemnation.
There's no condemnation. And not only that, God's here too. Whom He loves, He corrects. He corrects us. Now, it's not joyous for the present, but He'll correct you. How many times will He do it? Many times as it takes. Do you ever have to correct this little one at all? Does she need correction from time to time? Yeah, she does. But you know, you'll keep it up, won't you? Why? Because you love her. And eventually one day, you won't be correcting about that anymore. And that's the way it was with all of us, and that's the way it is with us with God. So what if you miss it? Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. I turn around. And He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we miss it, if we're just willing to say, Lord, I don't know why I did it, but I stepped out of what You were saying. I went further than what You said, or I didn't go far enough, or I overrode that leading. Have you ever done that? God gives you a leading in your life, that intuition I'm talking about, and your mind quickly overrides it. I don't have time right now. Or... can't be. That's just me. See, I find out that even things like sometimes I'll turn the TV on and the Lord will tell me, turn it back off. And see, I believe that's the key. to television is knowing that the button works both ways. Right? I believe that's the key. I don't believe all TV is bad like some people do. But I do believe if you just let the TV lead you, it'll be bad for you. But sometimes the Holy Spirit says, no, shut that off. I should have shut it off. I brought up something on my little BlackBerry this morning, and the Lord said, no, close that. Well, why? I want to be obedient. Because He wanted to talk to me instead. He had things He was dealing with me about. All of these things aren't inherently evil. It's the reason most people become completely one way or another, no TV at all, is because they have a hard time controlling it. But I believe we can grow in that too, don't you? I believe we can grow in hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd about everything. Keeping it to a place where He can talk to us. Say this, say, I'm going to make it. Say, I'm going to find my place. You believe that? I'll tell you, if you don't believe it, keep saying it. Say, I am going to make it. I'm going to be what God called me to be in the body. I'm going to do what He said. And remember, we can count on Him. We can count on Him. It was His idea. I said it was His idea to put you in the body where He put you. It's His idea. He's not trying to make it hard. He'll do it. I just need to give it up. Surrender. Put my trust in Him. He's faithful. No fear. Say that with me. No fear. Fear's opposite of faith. No fear. No fear. No unbelief. He's faithful concerning your call. He will do it. What can stop it? Us. What kind of things would you say could be in us that would stop it?
Doubt.
Doubt. What else?
Frustration.
What else?
Not speaking the word every day, and then the devil sneaks in and starts nick in your head.
Or letting other things fill our mind, right? And then that gives an open door to the enemy.
Trying to do it on your own.
That's right. Fleshly endeavor. Making it our own doing. Right. What else? The cares of this world. Somebody said something else.
Fear.
Fear. Let me tell you, there's outright rebellion sometimes. I don't know if you've ever caught it in you. But sometimes when the Lord says, do this, and we say, I don't want to do it. I remember one time in particular when I had spoken with an uncle of mine. This uncle, I called him up. And when I called him, he was drunk. I mean, he was drunk. And I've been talking to him about the Lord. Well, you know, what that does sometimes to us is we take it personal. When somebody else does something we know they shouldn't do, we take it personal. And I was driving near his home, to make a long story short, sometime after this, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go to his house. And I said, no, I don't want to go to his house. And I promptly turned down a one-way street. I had to rip it around real fast. And I can't remember all of the things I did. I took off without my lights on. I did all kinds of silly things. And finally, in driving to another place, I discovered I was about 3 blocks from his house. And I finally said, Lord, forgive me. I drove up in front of his house. I walked up and knocked on the door. Now, this was not when he was drunk. You understand that. This was later. But I just gotten hard about it. I didn't want to see his face. And I walked in, and when I saw him, it just added to what I felt because he just stood there. All right, come on in this house. That's good. Come on in, you know. And we went in and sat down and talked for a little bit. And pretty quick, now my aunt was there too. This uncle said to me, he says, come here, I got a job for you. But he does this real macho kind of deal, and it just turned me off, you know. And he takes me, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. He takes me through his kitchen into a staircase. And down the stairs we went, and he's leading me, and he gets ahead of me to the stairs, and he gets to the bottom of the stairs. Now remember, he's been real macho. He hit the bottom of the stairs. He lifted his arms and said, help me, Help me. Pray for me. Oh, I'm telling you what I knew, that I'd been missing it and missing God and missing what He had said to me. And I mean to tell you, you talk about a time of deliverance. See, I could have missed it. I was trying to override it. Now, what did I tell you? God will keep correcting you. Keep correcting you until He finally maneuvered me over into that place. Now, I have to tell you that that wasn't outright rebellion, but there was a rebelliousness about me, wasn't there? But God was able to get me there, and in getting me there, He ministered wonderful deliverance. Wonderful deliverance. Praise God. He's faithful. He'll see to it. But don't let disobedience rob you. Anytime, listen now, this is good. Anytime you find yourself in a state of joylessness, no joy. Anytime you find yourself in a state of frustration and confusion, I want you to stop. Back up. And I want you to just ask yourself, now when was the last time God said something to me and I ignored it? I didn't do it. Because how many here today would say, there have been times in my life I know that God was the one that was talking to me? Yeah. You know, it's universal, and even those that couldn't raise their hand high, there have been times if you think about it. Go back to the last time He told you to do something and you didn't do it. You know, sometimes it happens in church. People are supposed to do something. They're supposed to go forward, supposed to respond to a call. Not just for salvation, but something else. And they just sit there, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. But you're frustrated. A lot of times it's because of some place back there you failed to be obedient. So back up. Find out where it was. See when He showed you something that you ignored. Decide you're going to get back on track. Amen? We can get back. By the way, if you've heard Him say something, you thought you heard it and it didn't work out just right, don't beat yourself up about it. Remember, He's showing us. Showing us. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. Proverbs 4:18. I want you to see what this is going to be like. But the path of the just is as a shining light. Hey, who's the just? Is there anybody here just? Could I see the just? You know what just means? It means righteous. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is not acts of righteousness that we do, but the righteousness that's imputed to us as we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're righteous. The path of the righteous, the path of the just is as what? A shining light. A shining light. And what happens to that light as you move along? It gets brighter and more. And brighter and more. Until what? Until the perfect day, or until the culmination of all, until the day of completion. That's our path. That's our path. That's what we're on. And you know, sometimes when we start out, it's a shining light, but it's not as bright, right? But the further you go on that path, the brighter it's going to get. And the brighter it's going to get. And the more you surrender, the brighter it's going to get. And the more you act upon what He shows you, the brighter it's going to get. Until one day you'll look back and you'll say, wow. Wow, that wasn't as hard as I was making it. That isn't as difficult as I was trying to make it be. But it's a progressive brilliance, do you understand? And that's where we are, people. We're in a progressive work. God's working on us. God's making us. Now, you know, some people think that the path of the just is just a hard, difficult place. But that's not true. The Bible tells us it's not true. The path of the just is as a shining light. Verse 19, however, says the way of the wicked is as darkness. Well, I'm not accepting darkness on my path. Are you? No. Why? Because I know whom I have believed. Because I know that I'm walking in His righteousness. I know that He's going to do it. The wicked, the Bible says, they know not at what they stumble. Well, the enemy is the one that wants you to be confused about this. The enemy is the one that wants you to think this is complicated. The enemy is the one that wants us not to know what God wants. God wants us to know our place. He's not obscuring it. He's making it clearer, brighter, brighter, brighter. How many of you would say to me, it's getting brighter? How many of you would say, amen, Pastor, it's getting brighter.
Amen.
I'm seeing it better. It's getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. I believe there's a desire down on the inside of us, in our born-again spirit. That deep is called unto that deep place in us. His deepness is calling unto us. And there's a desire in us that's leading us to our place, drawing us to our place. And as you go, it's going to be clearer. It's going to be clearer. You're going to know better than you knew last week at the same time. And I think you ought to look at it that way. We ought to look at it at least weekly, probably daily, maybe moment by moment, to see it getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Because that desire is going to guide us. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace, God of shalom, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect. Now it's the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Now I know this is, we have Greek on this, but I want to tell you that that word perfect there doesn't mean flawless. But what it does mean is shalom. Perfect. Shalom. Perfect peace in Isaiah 26:3 really is He will keep us in shalom, shalom. Or shalom, shalom. The word's the same for perfect and peace. That God of shalom will make us shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, and every good work to do His will working in you. Would you say that with me? Working in you. What's He doing? What? He's working inside. Is He doing it right now?
Yes.
How many of you believe He's working in you? He's working in you right now. I don't know what you're feeling right now, but God's working in you. God's working in you. Why? Because He's faithful. He said He was faithful to do it. He's the God of shalom that's bringing you to a place of completeness. He's the God of shalom that's making you perfect by working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Is He working in you?
Amen.
I said, is He working in you?
Yes.
Is He faithful?
Yes.
The path's getting brighter. Say it. Say, the path is getting brighter. Say, my path. My path's getting brighter and brighter. Don't be a cruise-o-matic now. See, a lot of times when God puts people someplace, they allow offenses, difficulties, the cares of this world to move them aside. I didn't say a charismatic. I said, don't be a cruise-o-matic. Don't be cruising around. You wouldn't believe the number of people that have come here and told me they were here for the duration. But they've cruised. They've gone elsewhere. That's one of the things that keeps God's best from happening to people. When God sets you in a body or a congregation as it pleases Him, stay put until you get what He wants you to get out of that, right? Stay there until you're complete. Stay there until it's brighter and brighter. Amen. Stay where He puts you. Now, sometimes God does move people. We've had people move out of here that I knew when they told me that He was going to do it. And I knew that it was His will. I knew that He had a plan. It was just as hard to turn them loose. But I knew that they were right. But don't ever be one of those people that said, God told me, when He didn't. Well, that's terrible. God told me. God told me to leave, and He didn't. For that matter, God told me to come, and He didn't. Do what God says. Amen? Stay where He puts you. Philippians 2:13 says the same thing in different words. For it is God which worketh in you to both to will and to do His good pleasure. What does that mean? God's working in me. You said He is. He's working in us. He's working in us. What's He working in? He's doing. To will and to do. To will and to do. See, God's working in me to will. What does that mean? God's working in me to will. It's already His will, so that can't be what we're talking about. God's working in me to will. How many of you know that God's working in you to cause you to will His will? And that's important, that you have the desire to do what He's called you to do, but He'll put that in you. That's why it's not so difficult. I used to cry when I was a young Christian and I thought I was going to have to go to China. Every time I'd sing that song, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I just, for some reason, I thought I was going to have to go to China. And I'd cry because I didn't want to go to China. But you know what? A few years ago, I had a chance to go into Burma. Burma is just a dangerous, maybe, in fact, human rights are less in Burma than in China. But I had a will to go and a desire to go. And I was glad to be there. Daniel McCarty goes down the streets of Hanoi on a motor scooter. I literally dodging the secret police. And I told him one time, I said, the only way I can go is if God gives me a will to go there. But you know what? One of these days He probably will. To will and to go and to do His good pleasure in us. The Amplified Bible puts that in an interesting way. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire. Now I've got to get my tongue out of the way. The power and desire, both to will and to work for His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. So here's the process. We already said there was a process of presenting ourselves, not being conformed to this world, being transformed, renewing our mind. But we also know that really the simple way of looking at it is we were born again and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen? That's what we need to do. Just say yes day by day. Say yes right now. Say it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tonight before you go to bed, say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. You know, the Spanish, they don't say Lord. They say Señor. Señor. Sí, Señor. We say, yes, Lord. We're born again. Just say yes to Him. He's not going to make it hard. He's going to bring it to pass. Every day, submit. Progressively. Progressively, you'll be at the right place and at the right time. The other night we were sitting in my mother's house. My mother-in-law was sitting there. In fact, we'd eaten a meal at my mother's table. We'd carried some food out there and we were eating. And a neighbor that lives in the same unit, there's an eightplex. Well, it's eight condos. Four on top of another four down below. And the ones from up above my mother-in-law's house came over, knocked on the door and came in. And this lady came in and introduced herself. And of course, Mom knew her little kids and had met her before, and my mother-in-law had met them too. But when she introduced herself, God did something inside of me that drew me to her. Just drew me to her. And I knew it. I was aware that it was going on, but I thought, well, what's this about? And she talked to us a little bit and introduced and started telling us a little bit. And she says, yes, she says, we live right over there. And she says, what's happened is my husband and I are in the process of an amicable divorce. A little hint went off on the inside of me. And she says, in fact, he's here tonight. And we're going to have dinner together. And in a few minutes, one of the kids went over and told him, and he walked through the door, and that same drawing drew me to hear him. I was talking on the phone when he came in because my sister had called. I'm talking to her, but all the time I can't, you know, this drawing's going on. I know it's going on. And so I finally, after my sister said goodbye, I hung up the phone. And my mother-in-law needed something from the other apartment, so I said, I'll go get it. I walked out the door. I still remember. I came out the door. It's like this, you know. You come out the door on this side. You say, why? You don't have to show us quite so clearly, but I want you to see. I walked along. It's not too much further than this. I'm walking along like this to go over to my mother-in-law's apartment, which her door is on the other side. And about here, I mean to tell you, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just overwhelmed me. Now, I'd been asking him what I'm supposed to do. And he just overwhelmed me. And I walked on around, and I mean, tears began to well up on the inside of me. I still didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do about it. The man left. And eventually, the woman said, I went back around to the other side, and I'm waiting there. The man left. I told him goodbye. He had to go check some dinner they were cooking. And when the woman got ready to walk out the door, I motioned to Henrietta, and I said, come with me. And so when she left, we walked right out the door with her and walked alongside of her. And I began to talk to her about that. Now, I don't know what all is going to come out of it, but I know that I know that I know that I know that I did what God called me to do. And I talked to her about that, and I said, listen, you need to fight for your marriage. You need to fight for it. You need to let the Lord. I said, I hope you don't think I'm a kook, because I says, I just want you to know, I know that I was supposed to talk to you tonight.
That happened to me this week. God put three different people on my heart, and I prayed, and then the Lord said, call them. And so when I did, this friend of mine said, I can't believe that you called me. God really did put you me on your heart. And I said, he did. And that's the story she told me, is we're separated at this point in time. And it just broke my heart. Mm-hmm. And I said, the Lord would not have you guys be apart.
Right.
And I said, having been there is really nothing amicable about a divorce. I said, it destroys your children.
That's right.
And we can think they'll be fine, they'll understand. And so we prayed, and I shared with her, and I spoke with her last night, and she thanked me for saying that to her.
Praise God.
For calling her, and she said, we've talked, and he's willing to do anything, to work with me. And I just said, she shared about how in his past history, his grandfather had been abandoned because of his nationality and adopted into a white family. And out of me, which was not even my words, I said, keep it that in mind, because I said, he's already been abandoned once. Don't abandon him.
Praise God.
And she wept. And
praise,
I was thinking,
God,
where did that come from? And it was just the Lord anointing.
Amen.
It was a blessing to me.
Amen.
God,
praise the Lord.
Me.
Yep. That's it. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of thing. In fact, those kind of ministry many times shadow the things that go on within the body, because we're out in the world where people need to hear us. People really are needing us. And that's what I want you to draw upon. I'm just about done. You can stand with me here now. I want you to know that this is what we're talking about. These divine enablements. Don't get flaky. You don't have to get flaky. See, sometimes people think, you know, things have to get real. They don't have to get like that. Right? It doesn't have to be that way. It can be something that's very normal and very natural. I got to tell you that the woman looked at me and tears began to run down her cheeks. She said, well, there are. I said, I don't know anything about what's been going on, but I said, I know your marriage is worth fighting for. In natural jobs, people use us people just like I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be anything great. I've told you stories in the post office how God would open doors. One day somebody came into the post office when I was postmaster down here on Grand, right where Never Summer is. Somebody came in and they began to talk to me. The Lord just kept everybody else out, and I reached across the counter and ministered healing to that person across the counter. It was just the Holy Spirit put together the time. You know what I'm saying? It can happen in a lot of different settings. Don't make it something that always has to be done in church. Just yield yourself. Say, yield yourself. That's right. Keith Moore, one of the ministers I listen to quite often, has a song. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. And not only will it come to pass, but the path's going to get brighter. And brighter and brighter and brighter. Details are not all revealed at once. You know that. God reveals the details to us in His timing. Amen? Praise God. Last scripture. Paul said, he says, I'm thankful for you. I give thanks for you. But he said this in the sixth verse of Philippians chapter 1. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Does that mean he's working in you? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means until we see Jesus, this is going to keep going on. So will you say that with me? Say, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now tell him thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, I appreciate you so much, Lord. I love you and thank you that you're going to do the work, that you're going to bring it to pass. It won't be in the flesh. It'll be from you, and you will do it. We praise you for it. We praise you for it. Father, we love you and thank you today. I thank you that these words are settling deep and finding a fertile ground in the people that have heard them. I say right now, no evil thing will be able to rob these words away from them. Their understanding will grow in them. And I say right now that the cares of this world and that the lust of other things, the strifes and the frustrations will not be able to choke this word out. It's going to grow deeper and deeper and stronger, and the light that's in us is going to become greater and greater until the perfect day. In the name of Yeshua, lift your hands up. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen. 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 Praise God.